Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Janet.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to spice things up a bit, and I am going to play Cupid. As y'all know, our lovely Mel and Janet are the single ladies of the group, and in the spirit of the holidays coming up, I decided to set them up on a blind holidate with people that they've mentioned in passing, whether it's comments like, ooh, he's cute, or ooh, he's such a good dancer, or ooh, you can fill in the blanks. They've never talked to or met these people before, and this will be the first time. This is also just for fun, so no pressure on whether or not this holidate will work out. So today we are going to hear from our lovely Janet and YouTube and TikTok extraordinaire Jeffrey Chang, aka Jeffrey Fever. So grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy this holidate.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Maybe we start with introductions, I guess.
Sure. It's so weird because I feel like I'm used to introducing myself in person. I haven't had like an online meeting somebody new for the longest time during this whole quarantine season. So nice to meet you. I'm Jeffrey. I'm from Montreal, Canada. It's funny because I was taking a break from work. And, I got this email of this little meetup, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, kind of stressful, because I was like, I'm not meeting anybody, so I guess you're the first person I'm really, like, going to meet as a new person. Wow. So it's really nice to meet you.
Oh, well, I am honored. Thank you. So I guess I'm your first, like, virtual quarantine date.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I am Janet, and the team that contacted you would be Helen and Mel, who are my co-hosts for a podcast called Asian Boss Girl. And we're a podcast that is targeted for the Asian American woman, and we live in Los Angeles, so I'm based in downtown, and used to work full-time as a user experience designer in technology, and then was doing this project on the side, and since quarantine started, we've kind of trying out doing this full time. So I'm kind of new to the world of, I guess, like podcasting, and then we're also starting to do stuff in YouTube and whatnot. So, and I know that is more of your space, right? So
sure. I mean, I'm very active on social media, which is that's one of the reasons I'm taking a break. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like my first break this whole year. I've taken a day off because I was on the road, but that's awesome. I was reading up on Asian Boss Girl. I was just reading the bio of it, and I love what you guys are doing and just like spreading awareness and giving a voice to the community. I was so curious. I was gonna ask you. I was like, how did this come about? You're telling me you had a different job before hopping on this on social media. So what kind of made you hop onto this kind of this new world, this new endeavor?
Yeah. So I actually went to college with Phil and Wes from Wong Fu Productions. And so the three of us kind of met through them. But basically, you know, Helen, Mel, and myself work in, or we did work in kind of more corporate, traditional kind of 9-to-5 jobs in finance, technology, and media. But we have a lot of friends in LA that work in the new media and YouTube space. So it was kind of like, just socially, we would hang out with them a lot, and we just would chat, and they're like, you guys should record this. And we're like, yeah, sure, okay. And they're like, no, seriously, you should, you know, like try this out. And so it was a little bit of like almost like a half joke, and then an actual like, okay, let's try this desire to kind of do something creative outside of work.
Right.
And then, yeah, and that's kind of how that happened. And my background, I've worked in a bunch of different, like I've done a lot of career jumping. So for me, this is kind of like the concept of kind of going into something new is not necessarily new, but this world of digital media stuff is very new.
Right. Do you feel like the pressure of social media compared to your other jobs has any different, or was it something that you're like, you know, you're so used to kind of changing different avenues that you're like, okay, this is just something that I'm used to, and I've built up a lot of a thicker skin to face this.
Yeah. I think the thing that changing a lot of different jobs helps with is it builds up a tolerance for like uncertainty, I guess. Just basically being comfortable with being uncomfortable, I guess, is the one thing that it's helped with. It's also really different because this is the first time I'm doing something where we're kind of like our own bosses, so to say.
Right. You
know? So that's been interesting. And we're also friends. So there's definitely that component that trying to, you know, like foster a really good relationship and still care about each other as friends, but then also be able to like work with each other productively, and then also trying to do that during quarantine when we can't really like see each other and go out too much. But it's been a really awesome experience so far. How have you been holding up in quarantine? Like real talk.
Yeah. Oh my god. It started in March, right? Was it the same thing? Well, so you're in Los Angeles. I'm on the East Coast, so. I feel like, I guess it just started at the same time, right? Was everything on pause starting in March or?
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. So we're about on the same timeline. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I would say I'm kind of like you. I've been in a way jumping from one art form to the other. You know, I'm going to make this a longer story to jump back into the whole quarantine thing, is that I grew up ballroom dancing. So for 10
awesome.
Years, yeah, I was a competitive ballroom dancer. I would compete across America. In the middle of my teens, I hopped onto YouTube and I started making these personality videos, and I would share a lot about my life. And in the last 3 years, I decided to kind of retire all of that and hop into music. The first 2 years of that, it was difficult, I think, hopping into any new endeavors. You're faced with a lot of challenges that you don't expect. At the time, I was really naive about everything. And so this year, I discovered TikTok, and TikTok has taken over my life. What was fun about that is that throughout my whole career, I've always just focused on one art form at a time. And one of the things that I found so difficult is that I always wanted to pursue everything. I always wanted to sing and dance and be a personality. But for some reason, every art form in terms of my schedule only allowed me to focus on one. So this year on TikTok, it allowed me for the first time in my whole life to really express all of these art forms. And so it really kept me busy. I mean, I started in December of last year, and I posted every day, and I had this schedule happening. I had so much fun learning new things. I think my mentality with all this was, you know, TikTok is a new platform with a lot of younger crowd, right? You know, the stereotype is, oh, these are just for teenagers. You know, in my mind already, I was like, I feel like this quarantine thing is going to last a minute. In my heart, I was like, oh, maybe it might last a month or two. But in a weird way, I was hoping that it lasts. Not in a cynical way, but just because I felt like it would allow me to really focus and hone in on what I want to work on right now. And it kind of, the fact that the world was on pause allowed me to not focus on, oh my gosh, I'm missing out on opportunities. I should be doing all these different things. It kept me really busy. I will say, I think in the last month, I think it's the seasonal change. I feel like the pressure has been getting to me. I think I've been wanting to explore more, travel more. I think this summer just ended, And all the plans of like traveling, initially I was like, well, I'm saving all this money, it's fine. But now I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to go out, I need to explore. And where I'm at right now in Montreal, we're having this second lockdown where we can't go out for the next month. And they say it's going to last a month, but really we don't know how long that's going to last. Maybe they'll just extend the date again. It's a little bit more strict now, and it has been in the last 2 weeks. And so, you know, I feel very limited in my ways of just taking a break in general, you know what I mean? So all in all, it's been good. I think right now there's a seasonal change. I think it's a lot of self-reflection. I'm in this phase right now because I think, you know, me being on social media for the last 11 months full time on the daily, I've reached a point where I started to compare myself, and I feel the lack of social interactions have put me in this space of like, okay, it's me against everybody that is on these social media platforms, which really is not the case. It's just I should be embracing, you know, what my art forms are. It's been okay for the most part. It's been great. I think right now it's funny because in the last, I've taken a break for 4 days now off of social media. I'm still working on my music behind the scenes, and that's been really exciting. So I feel like the pressure came from social media and behind the scenes me working on different projects that people have no idea that it's happening. And I'm balancing all of these art forms that, you know, for one man to handle, it just, I felt like I wasn't being very forgiving because I was rushing the process. I wanted to show it all. And so I'm in a time where it's like, okay, I just need to rebalance my priorities. It's been good in the last few days. It's funny you catch me at this time because like I was super confident in the last, you know, throughout the whole year. And just in the last 2-3 days, I was like, oh, wow, I need to take a moment to really, to really think about my priorities.
Those experiences are like always challenging, but I think ultimately it's a good thing, right? Like, I mean, absolutely. Maybe it's hard to feel that in the moment when you're experiencing it.
Absolutely.
The interesting challenge is like when you meet success and then you want to be able to like ride the wave of all the changes, right?
Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is I'm a very introspective person. I love to self-reflect. I'm very self-aware of every little thing. And that's, I think one of the things I've had trouble with is like, as I'm looking to open up to my friends and family, I literally say everything. And I'm very self-aware of everything. So I think the downside of it is just like, I know exactly what they're going to say. And I think that's the funny part about opening up is that because I know what they're going to say, it's now it comes to a point where it's like, am I ready to listen?
Hear it.
Exactly. Yeah, so, so that's been an interesting to kind of go through. And also I've gone through a lot of injuries this year. I've been dancing a lot on TikTok. So it's like, I got a neck injury and I got a back injury. So yeah, but it's been good. I think the last few days of taking a little time off, it's like, oh, okay. Like I'm enjoying this more than I thought.
Yeah.
But how about you? Do you feel like you hopping on social media, did you feel that when you worked in the corporate world? Or do you feel there's a different type of pressure now that you have an audience? Yeah, tell me about it.
So I think what's interesting is because I had a lot of friends that were in that space, like when I was not in the space, I guess. So I saw it kind of from like a third person's perspective where I could see the pressure on them and I could see the effects. And I think for me, because I'm a little older, right? So coming into this, I think as an older person where I've already feel like I've developed like a stronger sense of self, like if there are negative comments or things that in terms of comparison, I think it's human for sure. And I will have those moments, but for the most part, I don't put as much weight or value, or I don't feel as phased by it. And knock on wood, maybe that's just because I haven't had a bad experience yet. I mean, actually now that I'm like reflecting, I think that when I first went into this, it's challenging. I think with any type of work that you do, you kind of look at metrics in some way, right? So you want to be able to like define what is like successful, what is, you know, maybe not as much, and how to like grow. So I think within social media, it's very easy for it to suddenly be tied to like very toxic things. But for me, because with Asian Boss Roll, what's really unique is that we are a podcast, but we also do all these different things. Like we're, you know, very active on social. We also do like in-person events. And when we took the time to really just like focus on what our main goal is, and if that is to help people who are listening, and if I just focused on that and I could feel that I would just look at like my week to week and like, am I doing, did I do something, at least 2 to 3 things this week where I felt like I enjoyed it and it was challenging and I feel accomplished. If I kind of on the short term and then longer term of the, like the mission, if I'm hitting it, then it became a lot easier to like not care about the other things or not be as fazed by it.
Mm. I think we're in a time where Asian Americans are being more in the media, but we still, in my opinion, I still want more voices to be heard. And I feel like that's what you guys are doing. And I love that. Do you feel like after reading some of the feedback that you've gotten from your audience, your perspective have changed in a different way? Do you feel more, I guess, purposeful or empowered by what you've gotten as feedback?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, honestly, when we started this, I was like, oh, I like having conversations. I would love to just talk, you know, amongst ourselves and then publish it and see if like anyone would, you know, be entertained by it, I guess. Mm. The messages that we were getting that were about like, and they're like paragraphs long of people just saying, and yeah, they feel so inclined to like just share their story. And so when I started to realize that, like, yes, it's fun and it's entertaining and we talk about, you know, like poops and periods and things like that. But we also have episodes where we talk about culture. We talk about the challenge of transitioning and looking for your identity and your career and all these things in your young adulthood. And people write in those times of transition and they're like, hey, I had a really dark week and listening to your guys' episode made me feel not alone. Mm. To me, I've always had, I think in terms of searching for my own life purpose or career direction, the ability to help alleviate suffering from people is like a really, really big thing that I did not expect this would help do. And it's even more compelling when we do like meetups and people come up to you in person. So that's been incredibly amazing.
That's awesome. So tell me, if you don't mind me asking, the types of jobs that you've switch from, is it, do they all look the same, do they are the, you know, is one connected to the other, or you know, what and what made you switch? Was it just you know, your upbringing? I know this is me generalizing, maybe in the Asian community or the Asian culture, we're very much expected to follow a certain route, if I may say like that. Did you feel any of that while in during your upbringing? You were born and raised in California, correct?
Yes, that's another very good question. Yeah, so I'm Chinese American. My parents were, their generation, they were born in Taiwan, but my grandparents are from China.
Okay.
And so my mom and my dad came here both for, I think like in their late 20s, like for graduate school. And they met here kind of through mutual friends in California who were Chinese. They always said that they were very liberal and kind of like progressive, and the idea of like a tiger parent, they would call out and be like, we're not like those parents, we want you to do whatever whatever makes you happy, whatever you want. But the thing is, they are still raised with those values, right? So I got very, and this is only in hindsight, like in the last 5 years I started to realize that even though they were telling me I could do whatever I want and kind of embracing Americanized and like Western ways of thinking, they, in their upbringing and in their values, still are very, very Chinese. So that means that at the dinner table, you know, like if they're talking about things that they value, they show so much respect for, oh, so-and-so's kid went into this college, or like, oh, this profession is really, you know, but then they tell me directly, oh, you should do whatever you want. But then it's like when they praise people or the things that they value, you know, are still reflective of kind of very traditional, the traditional alignment. So I think I grew up like thinking that I could do whatever I wanted, but still also valuing those very traditional aspects of security and, you know, like looking for something that is in getting a stable job. And also like my dad's an engineer, so there was always the focus on things that were more like quantitative, you know? Right. So I think I definitely was influenced by that, but I also inside always knew like, I do love creative work and I do want to help people. And those are the two things that like are just innately within me that I don't know why. My first job out of college was still kind of on the traditional sense. I studied math and economics and went and worked at a big four company. But like pretty much by week two, like hated.
Oh, really?
Hated it.
Oh my gosh.
So miserable.
So this is the program that you decided to choose is something that was from you didn't feel no pressure from any type of tradition. So so you went that route and you hated it within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, the thing is, it's like I had the freedom to choose it, but I was still like, I think I still care a lot about what my parents think. And it was interesting is my sister is like, so raised in the same household, right? Mm-hmm. But she, I think, kind of was less like receptive to, I think, that way of thinking, where she just felt more always from a younger age, I think, like confident in.
Is that your younger sister?
Whatever she wanted to do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Got it.
But yeah, I think that I was very susceptible to that way of thinking of, you know, you should still do something that is like more like stable and that kind of a thing. So that was the direction I went into. And I still remember like going into the office and being like, this is what I worked for, to come here and sit and stare at this wall.
So you endured it. I mean,
I endured it. Yeah.
Okay. So you kept through the studies.
Yeah. I endured it for about two and a half years at that job. And then I knew I wanted to leave, but I think it was more of a question. I just didn't know what else to do. And the thing that kind of like initiated a change was actually a guy that I started dating who was a graphic designer and a self-taught graphic designer, and like moved across the country to come to San Francisco and basically like start his own kind of like freelance type business. And I was just really inspired by that. And we got to know each other quite well. And he also saw how unhappy I was. He pushed a lot in terms of wanting to show me like there are other ways of existing in the world. There's other career paths that you can do. So that was kind of the first initial change. But yeah, I don't know. Have you ever had a person that you dated like really impact your life direction?
That's a good question. I'm thinking. First of all, I haven't dated that many girls. I've had one girlfriend. So my thing is that I was just thinking about this the other day, because some of my friends are always questioning, like, Jeffrey, why are you not dating? Why are you not, looking for a girlfriend? And I was just, you know, questioning that because I think my friend was asking me, you know, with your social media presence, how come you're not fazed by all the attention that you're getting? And I was like, you know, let me think about it. And for me, so I grew up with an older sister. And I started ballroom dancing when I was 8 years old. At that time, I guess I realized that I was just around elderly people mostly. When it came to being in the studio, it was just a lot of elderly people that were in a relationship. A lot of them retired, and this was a side hobby. And I always saw romance as something that I have nothing to worry about. It's something that I felt like it's gonna come when it's gonna come. And then the other thing was, I grew up with a lot of girls. It's just dancing is just, you're just around very, very pretty girls. Yeah. And I think as I'm growing up, I realized that it's not about the external anymore. I really, really want to have somebody that I can connect with internally. And right now I'm focused on just my career. And so I always felt like once I'm going to meet her, I'm going to feel it. And so I don't chase it. I just, I'm going to live my life. And personally, I feel like eventually one day I'm going to connect. And it's not that I close it off. It's just I wait for the right moment. I wait that I'm ready for it as well. But in terms of relationships, I had, let me see. I feel like personally, I've always wanted to be in the arts. I will say I've met this girl 3 years ago that was an entrepreneur. And I was an artist for the longest time. And the way we would communicate is she would picture me with, or in terms of our conversation, it would be like, oh, you're talented at this, but you could do so much more on the side in terms of business and entrepreneurship. And I think during that relationship, it made me want to impress her. And so I did a lot of my research on entrepreneurship. So I started studying, who did I study? I started studying Jeff Bezos, Jack Ma, a lot of the, you know, the founders of the biggest companies in the world. And so I think in the last few years, I found an interest for that. But I also understand that entrepreneurship, it's a timing thing for me. And I love to study it and understand the business side of it behind the scenes. But I don't think I'm, in a way, I managing everything that I do, I think it comes with the territory. But I think meeting her made me open up to it even more and kind of make me imagine myself in a meeting and pitching an idea. And with that, I made a whole business plan. I think I had like a 27 page business plan, but I was the product. You know what I mean? I wasn't pitching a product. I was like, okay, I'm the artist. I'm the product. Here's what I can do. And I had this whole plan. And looking back at it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm that impressive as a product, but it taught me a lot. So yeah, I think amazing. Being an artist has, or pursuing arts has always been a part of me. I think the business side of thing, I started to see the larger idea behind it.
Hi everyone, it's Janet here. If you're an OG listener, you know that Skillshare is a longtime sponsor of Asian Boss Girl, and they're a sponsor of today's episode as well. For any newcomers out there, Skillshare is an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey. They offer thousands of classes on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and more. We know that a lot of our listeners are balancing heavy work and/or school schedules and will appreciate that most of their classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit any schedule. I really love that they promote this idea of lifelong learning, and their classes are made for real working creatives, from beginners to pros, from dabblers to masters. They have classes like Introduction to Social Media Strategy and Bookkeeping for Freelancers. There's even a class on productivity with Evernote, which is something I'm interested in as a fairly new regular user of the program. Skillshare is also more affordable than pricey in-person classes and workshops with an annual subscription that's less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/abg10, and the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Again, the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Head to skillshare.com/abg10.
If you're someone who needs to put together thoughtful presentations, publications, magazines, and more, this one is for you. You live to create, but you don't live to worry about the last nitpicky details involved in putting final touches on your content. So do what you do best, which is create, and let Issue handle the rest. Issue is the all-in-one platform that will transform your files into powerful content. You can instantly upload, enhance, convert, and distribute eye-catching content in just a few minutes. Simply upload your PDFs, images, and text, and Issue will transform them using your vision and customizable templates to create the content you want. With Issue, you create it once and you can distribute it everywhere, including social platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and more. And you can start using Issue for free. They also offer premium features that give you an even more customized experience if you'd like. Get started with Issue today for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you'll get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code ABG. That's ISSUU.com/podcast and use promo code ABG at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code ABG.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
So do you feel like you finally reached the point where you know what you want to do in the upcoming years?
Honestly, I think I'm probably going to be someone who just perhaps goes through different phases and changes. And that's something that I've learned to kind of accept, because I think we're taught to like pursue a career like that. It's one thing, right?
Right. And so, and,
yeah. And I think that if you look at our generation, it's pretty common that a lot of people do switch around. And I think there have been articles written about how our generation will be the one that has like 2, sometimes 3 careers. And for myself personally, like I'm working on Asian Boss Girl right now, but who knows in a couple of years if that means that I will go back to user experience design and maybe split my time again or work on something else. But I think what's important to me is like I've learned better about like what are the contexts that I work best in. The past jobs that I had, there's probably a way that I could have been happy in those settings. Like it wasn't so much the work itself, but maybe it's like understanding the people I was around or the values that were there or maybe the hours, and then knowing kind of like what type of work drives me. So like you're saying, you might be interested in business, but perhaps you don't, like if your day to day was actually managing the business, you might not be happy, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I guess like I'm also someone who I get kind of bored easily.
Oh, same. Same. Yeah.
So I feel like I'll do something. I notice that like every 2 or 3 years into a new thing once, and it's not that I master it by any means, but once I get to a place where I kind of like feel that I have a sense of that industry or that space, I'm kind of like, okay, now I kind of want to like learn about something else or do something else.
So. How do you navigate that? Do you I mean, in terms of like your entourage, do you feel a little bit of pressure whenever you switch endeavors? Do you get a lot of resistance?
Well, in the beginning, when I was younger, I think also because a lot of my closer like high school girlfriends, their parents immigrated here from other countries. So we all kind of try to succeed in school and you go into like one of a handful of professions, right? So all of them have gotten like they're like lawyers and PhD and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, are all on their like second kid. And so and I'm kind of like the one oddball that kind of, you know, did other things. And I think that in the beginning, I felt the like otherness a lot. But I think because now I've weathered a couple of changes and people have seen me go through the change and, of course, go through some not so great fun times, but also that I always kind of come out to a thing and that I always like eventually land somewhere on my feet. So now that they have the confidence in, I mean, because mostly they were just, they are just concerned about my well-being, right? So, so the moment that they understand, okay, so you like to do a lot of different things, but if as long as you like are able to take care of yourself and you're okay, then that's okay. So but it took a lot of time to get here. So.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's what happens a lot when you first start and you have these conversation with your peers is they have an idea of what their lives want to be. And in the same manner, a lot of my friends, they know what they want to be in the future. And I, in the same way, I love bouncing from one thing to the other. And I was having this conversation with my friend the other day. He's like, I now know that whatever you pursue, you'll be fine because you have a history of time and time again showing that you'll find your way. And so that's awesome. I think it's funny. We have so many similarities in that regard. I think that, you know, we're approaching a time where, you're right, there's a lot of people that are looking for quote unquote happiness or a purpose, and they're questioning, especially during this quarantine period, a lot of people are questioning if they were happy this whole time or they were just following the currents of whatever their lives have brought them to. Do you feel like quarantine has made things more clear, or did it make you second guess a bit more? I know that there's words around where it's like, oh, we're approaching a time where it's like a lot of people are stressed out and questioning, you know, where they want to go after all of this, or some people enjoy the quarantine life.
I think it's actually net been positive. Like there's obviously, you know, good and bad, but I'm like quite an introverted and introspective person. So yeah, same with me. Like when this started, I was like, oh my God, this is actually kind of amazing.
Right.
And I did also because we went into Asian Boss Girl full time, like when quarantine happened. And I often think that if the world had continued as it did, I would have had a harder time adjusting to like working from home and working for ourselves because of the like FOMO or like just feeling like you're so drastically different than everyone else's life. Right. Like, am I doing this right? Right. But the fact that everyone now suddenly had to be at home and you can't really be looking into other people's lives and how they're doing their thing, I think it really did actually benefit us in the long run in terms of being able to make the transition smoother. I'm also like a high empathy person. And so I think with all of the stuff that's been happening in the US and California specifically, and I'm in downtown, so a lot of like the riots and some of the like protests, every time that there was a thing that happened, I had like a week of, I just felt like, oh, like so heavy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like I've been on this like emotional kind of like roller coaster, if you will. Right. And it's made me reflect a lot on the world and then also on myself and on the group of people around me. I still think it will all be positive eventually, but we're in the middle of still lots of change. And especially for the US, like 2021 is, everyone keeps saying, oh, can 2020 be over? I'm like, look ahead at 2021. Well, I think it's going to continue to be pretty.
I think, the year's not going to determine anything unless we fix this as soon as possible as a community. Yeah, no, I totally feel you. Are you alone downtown? Is your family in your close proximity?
So they are based in Orange County, which is like an hour, little over an hour south. So I used to see them every week, but now because of, you know, COVID stuff, I try to limit it to like once or twice a month that I visit my parents.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a good enough distance,
right,
so that like I'm quite close with my family. Mm-hmm. But we're not phone and texting people, so I've always make it a priority. Like our face to face interactions is kind of how we maintain our relationship. So
you say you're more an introverted person, so you live alone downtown.
Yeah,
has that been good for you? Has it been the case for a long time? How long you've been downtown for?
I've been in downtown for like 3 to 4 years now. In this condo. Before that I was in another place, but yeah, I more or less have lived alone for, oh my god, a lot of years now.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, so I'm accustomed to kind of, I mean, I've had periods where I'll like sublease and whatnot, but yeah.
Interesting. So, did you have a roommate phase?
I did. My gosh, when was my last roommate phase?
Was it horrible?
No, I think I just most of my roommate, like outside of college, most of my roommate experiences have been very like practical. Like maybe it wasn't someone that I knew, and it was just kind of like we needed to share space. Mm. How about you?
I had a roommate phase. So in 2014, I moved to Los Angeles for the first time. Wow, it seems so blurry to me, but I've lived with some roommates that I think the thing is that we were all kind of chasing a dream and ego came in the way, and we were all like trying to one-up each other. Things happen when we're independent and we're all trying to succeed. Even if a friend succeeds more than you and you're still in your position, there's some type of resentment that might happen, which I see a lot in this field. But I moved to Los Angeles in 2014, and I did some back and forth between Las Vegas and LA. From 2014 to, I would say, 2017, I would go from LA to Vegas to back home in Montreal. So when I would travel to LA and Vegas, it would mainly be for chasing the dream, going to LA and taking some meetings and seeing where that may take me. But it wasn't until 3 years ago when I switched to music, really, that I came back home to live with my parents. Yeah, so it's been 3 years now. We moved house last year. To this nice little condo in a city like right next to where we used to live. And I feel like I'm approaching a point where like by 2021, hopefully, like God permits, there's a vaccine or something. But I'd really love to travel a lot next year and really kind of be independent. I was going to ask you, so both of your parents are from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Your grandparents on both sides are from China?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. Do you speak the language or... do you feel like you're Americanized? Or?
So actually, my first language was Mandarin. I didn't know English, and I learned English, but then it flipped. So I would say I understand like 80% of the language, but my speaking is pretty horrible. I sound like a total ABC.
Do you connect with the culture at all? Do you feel like it's something that you want to go back to and like learn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of regrets of not putting more energy and time into the language, because I would love like for my children to know how to speak it, and I think it's really challenging if the parent doesn't, you know, speak it.
I'm in the same boat. I always had trouble learning the language. Well, in Montreal, the first language that I learned to speak was Cantonese and French. My mom, I didn't tell you about my background, but my mom is from Southern Africa on the island of Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
Which was colonized by the French. And so, I grew, and Montreal is a French city. So I grew up being around family members that spoke French. And so growing up, I just spoke Cantonese and French. My dad doesn't speak French. He's from Hong Kong. It could be my friend group as well, where I was more immersed into the Canadian French culture, and so growing up I would speak French more, and when it came to speaking Chinese, I think the grammar was so different that I kind of lost track of it. I'm in a period right now where now I want to learn it, now I really want to be immersed in it. So one of my goals next year, and I was talking to a friend about it, I was like, I would love to stay in Taiwan for a few months and really practice my Mandarin, because I took a year and a half of classes a few years ago, and it's so difficult when you're not around the people that speak it. on a daily basis. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, but hopefully we'll see it next year. If life allows it, I'd love to just go in different countries and be immersed in a different culture and see where that takes me.
Yeah. So Taiwan is one of the top on your list?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what it is. I think, so 2 years ago I went on this cruise in Japan. Oh, and then afterwards we flew to Taiwan, and I had never heard of Taiwan before. Like, I knew of it. Mm. But in terms of the culture, I never heard much about it. I would mainly hear about Japan and their culture and South Korea. Taiwan, I didn't hear much about it. But when I went there, I was like, wow, like, this is really cool. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. I felt like anywhere that I was, I could just lose myself there and navigate on my own and not be scared. Yeah, so definitely a place that I'd love to visit. And also, I think that with my career, the idea of going to Asia and understanding the roots of it all, it brings me a lot of curiosity, you know, because I think when I started being an artist, I was a little stubborn in the idea of, like, I'm going to make it in Hollywood, I'm going to make it here. Mm. And I've traveled enough to Los Angeles and to realize that, oh, wow, like, life in this industry is a little different than what you would see on TV. So it wasn't until I really went to Asia that I was like, wow, there's something that I resonate with over there. Have you ever been to Taiwan?
Yeah, only 2 to 3 times. The first time I went, I've two very different trips, because one was with my parents. With my family, we went back because my dad and my mom wanted to show my sister and I like where they grew up and, you know, like where, like, their old school and everything. And Taiwan is like a pretty small island. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, before that, I don't know why. I think I just always grew up feeling like I knew conceptually my parents are from Taiwan and my grandparents are from China, but I had no concept of how different those places are.
Right.
And so I went to China first, my first trip to Asia, and with my sister and her Chinese class, which was a very interesting experience. Oh. Because it was a Chinese class in Southern California. So it was like all white students, and her teacher was white.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So going back to a country where we look native and with a group of all like white people, yeah. Essentially. Yeah. Because at that point when we went back to China, my parents had actually never gone yet. Oh, so we were the first in our generation to go and kind of see and do all like the kind of touristy things. And of course, China is very different than Taiwan. And my parents, I think, are somewhat influenced by like Taiwanese culture in some of the demeanors, right. and things like that. And then, yeah. And then we went to Taiwan with my parents, and the same trip also had gone to Shanghai. So it was like such a stark contrast to see, it's like harsh city living. Yeah. And then you go to Taiwan, everyone's like so polite and like, can I take your bag?
And very different. Stuff, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you came back from that, did you ever feel like you belonged in LA after going to a place like China and Taiwan?
That's a good question. I don't, like, in terms of where do you feel like you belong?
Yeah, I think identity wise, I feel like, because growing up here, I never really questioned. I always felt like I was from here, right? And I think once I went into more communities or had a larger group of friends with time, and it was time to really hone in on my identity, I was like, oh wait, you know, you come with a background that it's very different from here anyways, with you know how your parents teach you. So I always try to figure out the similarities I have with my close friends from here. And then because none of my friends, I wouldn't say none, I have maybe one, but most of my friends here are not Asian. My friends are white, brown, black, the whole rainbow, but Asian, surprisingly. The Asian part in my life is more family. And so, funny enough, when I went to Los Angeles, I have never seen so many Asian Americans that spoke English. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I feel connected to you guys. But it wasn't until like a few weeks being in Los Angeles and hanging out with new people that I was meeting that I was like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like I fit in a way. I feel like I'm still very different. And so I went back home and to compare, and I felt like I still don't feel like I fit in here. So I think I'm in this place where I had to accept that, like, well, I'm a little bit of all these cultures combined. The idea to find people that will entirely feel the same way might be very rare. And find beauty in that, you know what I mean? So did you ever feel something similar to that?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Orange County, which is, like, all white people.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. My high school was probably, like, I don't know, like, maybe 7% Asian. There were probably, like, total of, like, 15 of us in this class of, like, 700.
Wow, okay.
Some of my closer friends were, like, Indian and also Asian, but actually not very many Chinese. And then, yeah, mostly I was around, like, white, Hispanic. And when I went to college, so the UC system in California is like, there's a lot of Asian people.
Right.
So that was my first like kind of like culture shock going into college and then suddenly being around a lot of Asian American people. I grew up like in LA, there are parts that are, there's like a lot of Asian American people. But so I had like family, I had cousins that were there. And so on weekends, we would go and visit them and I would be kind of exposed to more Asian American culture. But they always viewed me as kind of like whitewashed, which is, I know it's like maybe not a great term, but I.
But I totally relate. They called me a banana for a long time, white on the inside and blue on the outside, something like that. So totally
yeah. relate. So I definitely like, I think college was the first time I was around more like Asian American people and actually learned how to distinguish. Like before that point, I really didn't know if you ask me if someone's Korean or Vietnamese or Chinese, I didn't have the like sense to fully be able to recognize like aesthetically how that differs. And then it was only then and then now in LA, because I think of the people that I'm around, I'm kind of in this more like Asian American community now, especially with like Asian Boss Girl. This whole experience has made me think more deeply about my identity as well, because I think that I have not really fit in, to your point, like with any group specifically. I've always not quite shared their experiences fully. But then it also means that you can relate to a lot of different people in a little way.
Right. So. No, absolutely. Yeah. Do you, when you go back to Orange County, I'm assuming you still keep in touch with the peers that you've grown up with.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're kind of going between two worlds? Just, I mean, it's just 1 hour away, which, you know, I had no idea that Orange County had not as many Asian people as in LA.
I mean, certain parts of Orange County do, but the area that I grew up, was mostly white, which strangely enough, though, all the people that I've kept in contact with are mostly like minorities, so like Indian, American, Pakistani.
Same. Okay.
Yeah.
My best friend's Pakistani, and in a way, I always questioned how come we connect so well with some of my friends that are from different cultures. Really, it's funny. I have conversations with people in LA where it's like it's still very new to them. At least one of my friends in LA, she grew up with a lot of Asian people as well, and it's fun to have different perspectives. And have each and every one of these perspectives be right and be have its own beautiful kind of lessons from. And so that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Hi everyone, with the roller coaster ride of the election season finally ending, the pent-up feelings of uncertainty and stress have definitely affected us. But we feel super fortunate to have resources like talk therapy to help alleviate this stress. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service available for clients worldwide. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist with whom you can start communicating in under 48 hours. Personally, I have at least one meeting a month with my BetterHelp counselor. These video sessions really put my mind at ease and it's something I look forward to every month. For me, I prefer video, but you can also message or call your counselors if these methods work better for you. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/ABG10. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. They have a special offer just for ABG listeners where you can get 10% off your first month. Try it out at betterhelp.com/ABG10.
Avani is a female-founded skincare brand pioneering Indian beauty for all women. Rani means queen in Hindi, and female empowerment is core to their mission. Their glow-activating exfoliator is made with turmeric, honey, and neem. I really love it. It dries faster than other masks, and I'm actually wearing it right now. They also have an eye-rejuvenating elixir made with sweet almond oil, rosehip seed, and avocado oil, hydrating and lightweight. Go to avrani.com, that's spelled A-A-V-R-A-N-I.com, and use code ABG20 for 20% off your first order. Go check them out now because they sold out early in the holiday season last year. With the holidays coming up, gift a ritual set to someone you love and share the gift of glowing skin. Avrani gets the Asian Boss Girl seal of approval.
Y'all know I'm a huge lounger and love being at home.
This may be TMI, but one reason why I enjoy being at home is because I get to walk around in my underwear. Underwear for me isn't just something you wear every day. It's a fun way to express yourself and provide so much comfort when wearing the right pair. I want to introduce you all to Parade. It's a self-expression brand that makes creative basics, underwear that celebrates who we are today. Parade was launched just over a year ago, founded by CEO Cami Tellez, a 23-year-old first-generation Latina. All of Parade's underwear is made from sustainable fabrics and packaging, and they have all-inclusive sizing from XS to 3XL. My favorite thing about Parade underwear is the fun colors and designs. I can create such fun at-home looks by matching my tops with some of their festive colored undies. Parade may be a young brand, but they've already sold over 500,000 pairs to date. To try your first pair of Parade underwear, go to yourparade.com/ABG to use our code ABG to get 20% off. Check out the most sustainable $9 underwear on the planet and let's celebrate who you are today.
What do you have planned for the rest of the year? Do you have anything that you're excited about with the change of... Oh, by the way, in LA, it's still warm, isn't it?
Yeah. If you know, I'm like sweating right now.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
So I think it's like 90 degrees. And then to preserve the audio quality of this, I have my air turned off and everything shut down. So I'm like... but yeah, no, it's LA has been having later and later summers.
Oh,
so it's been strange.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're in October now, but it literally feels like summer.
That's so weird. So
I'm ready for some fall weather. It gets cooler at night, but during the days, it's still like super warm. But I'm very excited for the holidays. I think it's my favorite time of year. I like just the festive feeling of things. I don't know, man. It's 2020, but like we said, a year is not.
And I'm
also accustomed to like at least once or twice a year traveling. So not being able to do that, like our friend group here, we've been doing kind of small like road trips. Just like
going
up to the Bay for a couple days. We went to Palm Springs for a little bit. So maybe I think we're going to try to do something in December, maybe go to Big Bear or something and be around.
That's cool.
Just a different setting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the next holiday for you guys is what? Is it Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do usually on Thanksgiving? Do you go back home?
Yeah. I definitely see my parents. And
that's the plan?
Yeah. I mean, they're like an hour away. So usually around the holidays, I'll do a combination of, go and we just usually with my parents, we just have dinner. And then my sister, she's usually, her boyfriend's family is a lot more into the festivities of everything. So she'll celebrate with them and then we'll kind of do a smaller family dinner. And then I will do usually something with friends, but we're not sure with COVID this year.
A lot of things are going to be last minute planning out.
Me
and my family, we've been trying to for as often as we can, just every weekend do something new. This week we went on a hike. Last week we tried a new restaurant. And so we've been trying to just keep our head, like fill our head with new things or new activities. Yeah. What's the age difference between you and your sister?
2.5 years.
Oh, okay. That's a good little gap. Do you feel like you guys are the same in terms of like culture? You were saying how career-wise you guys are a little different.
Yeah. Our personalities are quite different. A lot of people would say we are opposites in many ways, but I think there's something in our core that's very, very like similar. I think just being raised in the same household, but her how do I describe?
is she in LA as well?
She's in Orange County.
Got it.
Yeah, I guess on like a surface level, like when we were growing up, she always had dyed hair and piercings and went punk rock shows. Always came back bruised from like, what do you call that when you're like surfing the crowd of people?
Crowd surfing.
Yes, she once got into a fight at a concert. So. I mean, but that's growing up. I think if you saw her today, she's a little more cleaned up. But
she's a bit more extrovert.
What's interesting is that she was super shy. I think innately she is more because when we go to like family gatherings, she's always talking to like everyone and kind of. But when she was a child, she was like super shy, very, very quiet. I think to some degree, she's like probably still introverted, but more extroverted than I am.
Right.
But we always had, I think it's like maybe the surface interest seemed like she was someone who was very like counterculture perhaps, and I'm more traditional. But then when you look at kind of perhaps our bigger life like decisions, like I kind of moved away from home and always, you know, like I went into kind of more traditional career, but then I was like constantly jumping mm-hmm. and changing, versus she kind of stayed close to home and kind of doesn't like to push those types of boundaries and really likes security and really likes stability and tradition and family and has always been in a long-term relationship.
Cool. Yeah, I always find it interesting that me and my older sister, like I constantly think about, you know, how we're able to connect so well, but at the same time, on so many different levels, I'm like, ah, she doesn't get me. You know, my sister's 2 years older than me. So right about the same thing as you and your sister. And I find it so interesting how in the idea of just being the older child and younger child, how even with the same parents, it can go left and right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm fascinated by it. How for an older child, because my sister always said I was spoiled, right? But I never felt spoiled. And I always questioned where that came from. And I feel like, you know, just in our situation, I think being the only child for the first 2 years to suddenly having the attention split with me, with my parents, and then the teaching style was a bit more strict with my sister because it was the only child. He wanted to really do a good job. And then when it came to me, it's like, okay, a bit more loose, or, you know, they'll ask my sister to take care of so many things. And she kind of became, quote unquote, a second mom to me. And so there's that authority there that with time, just having just that situation years later, you realize that, oh my gosh, that creates a lot of differences between siblings. So
yeah,
that's something that I always questioned for me and my sister. So I thought, yeah, I was just gonna curious about your situation. That's awesome. How was how's your love life? How's that going?
Oh god. It's, you know,
it is what it is. I mean right now it's difficult. Are you looking are you looking for a relationship, or is you're just
Yeah, I am. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm looking for a serious relationship. I would love to have a family and kids someday, and pretty much like I'm dating to meet a lifetime partner.
Got it.
And that is kind of challenging during quarantine.
How was your last your last few relationships? Were has it been a while, or
Formal, like actual relationship, it's been many years. But every couple of months, there's like a person I kind of will try to date, and it will, you know, not really work out. So
yeah, it's hard. I feel like, I mean, right now it's difficult. I even for me, I'm like, I'm hesitant to embark on any deeper conversation in fear of, you know, this period, if it's extended a year or 2 years, I know it will eat me up alive. That I would have to like long for somebody and have all these expectations and wanting to do more. Yeah, so I think even for me, I'm like, I haven't dated in a long time. And I don't know if it's the season change as well. Like I'm yearning for something deeper. 'Cause I think at the start of quarantine, I don't know if you went through the same phase where you're connecting with all your friends and it's a lot of small talk, and then the conversations just started to be a bit more plain, and and now I'm looking for, you know, meeting people that kind of will stimulate my brain and be a source of motivation for the months to come.
Yeah,
it's a strange time right now, but we'll see how things go. But it's really good that you're able to meet up with your friends and try go different places. That sounds really exciting. I'd love to come to LA, and you know, I miss LA. From the time I moved there to being back home, I haven't gone back in 3 years. And yeah, there's so many places. I'm like, oh, that's right, I ate food there and I traveled there. We'll see how life takes us, where life takes us.
If you're ever out here, you can hit me up.
I'll hit you up.
Yeah.
And where are the other girls located? Are they all downtown?
Helen is also downtown. Okay. Mel is about 10 minutes out. Yeah. So, but we're all kind of relatively in the same area.
How did you guys meet?
Yeah, we should all hang out. So I went to college with Phil.
Just all Phil, right?
Yeah. Okay. Who is Helen's fiance. And
right. Then, oh, yeah. That's
Yeah. And then Mel is, she interned for Wong Fu. So just kind of socially, we all met, I guess, mostly through Wong Fu. Yeah.
Got it. How come you kept in touch with Phil?
It's Phil and Wes and our friend Eric, they're just a group that, like, even when I lived in other places, we would, like, once a year, twice a year, either gather when I came back to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. or we would take, like, international trips together. So, it was just, like, a friend group that we've kind of always kind of kept in contact. So,
those guys are great. Yeah. They always, from time to time, send me a little nudge and see if I'm doing okay. They're very sweet. Definitely next time I'm in LA, I'll hit you up, I'll hit everybody up and see if we can meet up and hang out in person.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jeffrey. This is actually a really good conversation.
This was really dope.
I haven't had.
Yeah, this is fun. Well, thank you for having me. Thank you to the girls for setting this up. This is really sweet. Awesome. Well, keep in touch, and then let me know if you come to Montreal. I'll take care of it.
I will.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you all for joining me on my first podcast blind date. Be sure to check out Mel's podcast blind date episode in 2 weeks. I wonder how her date is going to go. Tune in. As always, you can find us on all the podcasting platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as Instagram and YouTube. We are Asian Boss Girl. Subscribe, follow, and if you like what you hear, leave us a rating, a review, we really appreciate those, a comment, and share this episode with a friend. For links and codes to partners mentioned in today's podcast, go to our show notes, or head to our website for more special discounts. And if you'd like to support us through monthly donations to help keep this podcast running, you can do so at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support, or buy some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com. We have a couple of shoutouts today. Wishing a very happy 26th birthday to Nyung in Dubai. Your friend Eddie is thinking of you from Perth, Australia.
Hi, this is Helen, aka Cupid, and I am jumping in with a shout out. This message is to Jenny from your friend Judy. She says, "Happy birthday, Jenny. Hope you have the most amazing day, and I'm so excited to celebrate your wedding with you next month." If you have someone you'd like to give a shout out to and you know they listen to our podcast every Thursday, feel free to email shoutouts@asianbossgirl.com. That's shoutouts with an S, and we'll give them a shout out. We hope you enjoyed listening into this exclusive first holiday with Janet and Jeff, and we hope you are also able to connect with friends or blind dates in a safe way this holiday season. Now that you've reached the end of this podcast, head over to our YouTube channel where we've put together a special video clip of this holiday with Janet and Jeff. You can see their faces and reactions. Search Asian Boss Girl on YouTube.
Last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all of her magic on our episodes, including this one. Catch you all on the next episode.